Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 19th day of May, 2018. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, tuning into WLMR Radio, and glad to have you all in fellowship with us today. Our opening song is "The Church Has One Foundation." And that is Jesus, not custom and tradition at all. The church has one foundation, 'tis Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her.
Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation. One Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy Godhead, she blesses, partakes, one communion fold, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Thank you, Lord.
Though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song.
Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her work, she waits a consummation of peace forevermore. Till with a vision glorious, her longing eyes are blessed, and God's true church victorious shall finally be at rest.
Amen.
Amen, and praise God that he's with his people, no matter how tumultuous the war of persecution may be against her. She waits for the coming of her Lord and that marriage supper of the Lamb to be consummated. And then peace forevermore will be hers and yours, dear ones. If you're faithful to the end, you'll have that crown of life. So, amen. I invite you to please bow your heads and your knees for opening prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love. Thank you also for knowing the end from the beginning. And you know exactly what circumstances and situations and experiences to bring before each individual that you are seeking to save from death, that they may have eternal life in Christ Jesus, your Son. Thank you for thy merciful care and interest in our welfare, and for arranging everything according to thy perfect will for our eternal welfare. Please continue to be with us. Please continue to pour your Spirit upon us, and please, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error. Help us to comprehend and understand the spiritual truth and insights that you have put in your word, And thank you so much for giving us thy word written out so that we can read it for ourselves and not have to depend on what people tell us it says. But we can search out the truth for ourselves. So thank you for this precious treasure. And thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. Please be with all of the evangelistic meetings that are taking place, the spreading of your truth around the world, filling it with thy glory. Multiply the efforts, prepare hearts, prevent Satan from snatching away the seeds of truth, and let an abundant harvest take place from these efforts and these meetings for your kingdom of righteousness. Be with all of those that are requesting prayers for healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, and please grant these requests, and thank you, Savior, for being there and our great physician. And thank you for the privilege of being woken up from our sleep that we may recognize the time of day that it is far spent, and soon probation will close, and it will be too late to wake up then. And Father, please grant us an outpouring of your grace that we might indeed be able to endure, to hold fast, to remain immovably fixed on the rock Christ Jesus. And indeed be your living witnesses in these last days of Earth's history. Help us to uplift the Savior more fully, to let our light shine more intensely. And thank you that the glory of the Lord is filling this dark world. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, one and all. And this sermon today is part two of Bible Spotlight on the gift of tongues. And this is our final part. And you can find the notes and quotes I'll be referring to on our website at lightministries.com/ID1304.htm. And last Sabbath, we learned that the Bible mentions that there were three different times over a 20-year period where the gift of tongues had been given to God's people. And after going through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in these three instances, we were able to clearly see that the true gift of tongues was not vain babbling or gibberish that could really be confused for a drunken man's speech. And it was not a language that no one could understand, such as unknown tongues. And neither did the message or the words that were spoken have to be deciphered by the hearers. But it was the perfectly understood use of foreign languages that were spoken in order to spread the gospel to the foreigners that were there in the crowd. So that was the true gift of tongues in all three of these instances. But we also learned that not only can God give the miraculous gift of speaking in other languages to his people, but the devil can also speak through people. And so this means that there can be a false gift of tongues or a counterfeit tongue speaking that comes from the devil and not from God. We then examined last time the type of tongue speaking that was taking place among the believers in the church of Corinth, and we learned that the apostle Paul was rebuking and chastising these believers because they had allowed a counterfeit tongue speaking into their midst. So Paul was not teaching that this counterfeit tongues was something that we should desire, And he was not teaching that we should speak without understanding or that we should speak in a babbling or gibberish language that no one can understand. But Paul was trying to keep this false type of tongue speaking from continuing to be a problem in the Corinthian church. And he emphasized to them that the main purpose of tongues was to be a sign, not to those who already believe the gospel, but it was a sign for the unbelievers. And so in following this counsel of Paul's, tongues would then become a divine sign to unbelievers as to who was preaching the real gospel truth. Now, the incident recorded in Acts chapter 2, or the first time that the true gift of tongues was given, was actually not the first time that a miraculous gift of tongues had ever been spoken. And we'll learn more about this today. If you look at quote number one, and again, these notes and quotes can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID1304.htm. For many centuries before the true gift of tongues was first given after the ascension of Christ to the believers there in Jerusalem, a miraculous gift of tongues had already been observed and recorded in history. The first historical evidence of miraculously speaking in tongues was among the Babylonian prophets. The male prophets of Babylon were called Mahu'um, and the female prophets were called Mahutu'um. Now, this Babylon word means ecstatic, and it's derived from mahu, which means to become crazy or go into a frenzy. So when these Babylonian prophets were supposedly under the direct influence or possession of their god Marduk, or his female counterpart, Ishtar, they were receiving and transmitting divine words in an altered state of mind, and thus they would go into an uncontrollable frenzy, and their speech would become ecstatic. Or in other words, they would be speaking in tongues. So that's all the way back in Babylon. Now, the tongues that these ecstatic Babylonian prophets were speaking were not known languages that could be understood, but they were non-language utterances or unknown tongues. And since no one could understand what they were saying, they couldn't recognize the language of this ecstatic speech. The Babylonian priests declared that it had to be the tongues of the gods. And so then they tried their best to decipher or interpret what the gods were supposedly communicating through this ecstatic speech. But it was not just in Babylon that speaking in unknown tongues was manifested among the pagans. There are records of ecstatic speech and the like in Egypt in the 11th century B.C. And there have been other recorded and documented instances of such miraculous, unknown tongue speaking in both ancient as well as in more modern times. For instance, in these following Greek circles, there was unknown tongue speaking among the Greek priests and priestesses, among shamans or medicine men, among various African tribes, among the Tibetan monks, the Hudson Bay Eskimos, and the North Bay pagans, including even an Islamic saint. And all these above occurrences of tongue speaking among these pagan groups were not tongues of known languages, but were of unknown languages, unknown tongues. Now, if you look at quote number two, now, obviously, the gift of tongues being manifested among all these pagan groups was not from the God of heaven at all, so then it had to be from the devil, and thus was a counterfeit of the true gift of tongues from God. And Satan is continuing to manifest this counterfeit gift of tongue speaking in unknown languages among more than just the pagans. But again, the miracle of the true gift of tongues was that God's people could speak existing languages, which they had never studied or learned before, in order that their foreign listeners could recognize and clearly understand the gospel message. So if people today were really speaking the true gift of tongues, then a person would suddenly be able to speak the gospel message in French or Spanish or Russian, etc., to foreigners who understood these languages. But this is not what happens in the modern tongue movement of today. And the vast majority do not speak real languages at all, but unknown languages. And in fact, there was a recording of someone speaking in unknown tongues, and then the recording was transcribed. And this is the transcription of what they were saying. Prowl, pray, prode, paw, palisate, paw, paw, poo, pee, telly, taratata, terea, vol, viti, voom, and etc. You can read the whole thing there. So you can see that this is not any language at all, but is just gibberish. But that's an example of the modern tongue speaking of today. So this shows that the unknown tongue speaking of today is just like with the pagans. And thus it has nothing to do with the true gift of tongues from God, but is just a counterfeit of the devil. But yet many believe that they are being blessed with the true gifts from the Holy Spirit. And there are many sincere and honest Christians today who, just like with Corinth, have spoken in this counterfeit type of tongues. And many of these dear people do not know that this is not the true gift of tongues as spoken of in the Bible. But they truly love God. And they have thought that this is what God desired. But God in mercy has winked at the times of their ignorance. And if you look at quote number three, and God therefore condemns no one for their honest mistakes, but he is also commanding all men everywhere to repent, as we're told in Acts 17 verse 30. So God winks at the time of our ignorance, but he doesn't want us to remain in ignorance. He wants us to come into the light, to repent of what we have ignorantly done wrong, and then to no longer do that wrong. We are judged by the light that we've received and by the use we make of that light. And mercifully, the Lord allows correction and instruction to come to all his people, because he loves them dearly and does not want to see a single one of them deceived and lost. We're told in Ezekiel 18, verse 23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? And then in Revelation 3:19, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, if you look at quote number 4. So God doesn't want us to remain in ignorance, and so he sends his truth to wake us up. And after he does so, he doesn't want us to continue practicing the wrong, because now we're no longer ignorant we're doing wrong. We know we're doing wrong. And so God then wants us to repent and to do what we know to be right, to follow his word. But many believe that all supernatural manifestations must be from God. And this belief is actually one of the most dangerous views to hold, because it opens up your mind to any of the deceptions of the devil as long as it can be classified as being supernatural. And it has already been shown that there have historically been supernatural manifestations among heathen religions, as well as demons speaking through human beings. And so for this very reason, the Bible gives us very clear warnings, such as found in 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, or in other words, every spiritual manifestation, but try, and try means to test, but try or test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So then the Bible tells us that in the latter times, and we're living in these times right now, that in these times in which we now live, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils are going to be everywhere, and that we must test these supernatural manifestations by God's word. We can't just accept them because they're supernatural. We have to test them to see if they're from God. So just because an event or an occurrence, such as speaking in unknown tongues, takes place in our midst, does not mean that it's from God. In 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 15, we're told, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So then the devil himself, as well as all his agents, are going to be able to do marvelous things in our sight. In other words, supernatural things. And if we just accept it because it's supernatural as being from God, then we're falling right into the trap of Satan. And we're going to be deceived and misled. So we have to test everything that comes to us by God's word. That's the only way to know if it comes from God or not. Now, if you look at quote number 5. So this shows us that we can't go by what we feel about something, and we can't go by what we see. We have to test it by God's word. So we can't go on our feelings. We can't go by what we see in order to determine whether something is good or evil. because the devil can so disguise himself as to appear as a glorious angelic being of light. And his agents can appear to be ministers of righteousness. So the absolute worst thing to do is to test if something is from God based on how we feel about it or upon what we've seen take place. Because we can't trust our sight, nor our feelings. In fact, the devil can play upon the ever-changing and fickle emotions of millions of sincere but deceived people today. And he can trick you into believing that what you saw was real when it was not at all what it seemed. So then we must trust and prove every spirit, every messenger, every message, and every supernatural manifestation to see if it's really from God or not. We can't assume. We have to test. And so how do we go about testing supernatural manifestations? In Isaiah 8:20, we're told, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So if the law and the testimony, or in other words, the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, is not adhered to or is not in harmony with, then they are not from God at all. God's Spirit will always work and teach in accordance with God's law and Bible truth. God's law is the foundation of his government. It's the transcript of his character. And God has declared that he will never alter his law in the least. Not one jot or tittle is altered in God's law. You can find this in Psalms 89:34 and Luke 16:17. So then if a spiritualistic manifestation is shown not to be in accordance with God's Ten Commandment law or with any other portion of scriptural truth, then there's no light in it. The scripture doesn't say there's some light in them, but it says there is no light in them. So this means that it doesn't matter how wonderful it may feel, and it doesn't matter how real it may look, and it doesn't matter how high their profession might be. If all of God's law and his inspired word of truth is not being upheld and followed, then there is absolutely no light in it. If there's a discrepancy between them and God's word, this reveals them to be false, and whatever spiritualistic manifestation took place was not from God but from the devil. And thus, you cannot trust it. And this one test alone exposes the fallacy of hundreds of spiritualistic manifestations in tongue speaking and proves that God's Holy Spirit was not the power behind these. Just this test of Isaiah 8:20. But besides, God only sends his Holy Spirit to those who are keeping his commandments, not to commandment breakers. If you look at quote number 6 from Acts 5 verse 32, the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him, not to the disobedient, not to commandment breakers, but to those that obey him. But now many who are really using counterfeit tongues, speaking in unknown tongues from the devil, have tried to substantiate their claim that what they're doing was really from God because of all the miracles and healings that accompanied these unknown tongue-speaking individuals. But once again, we must investigate from the Bible to see whether miracles are a valid test to use in determining whether something is true or false, whether something is from God or from Satan. So are miracles to be a test of what's from God or not? If you look at quote number 7 from 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 8 to 10. And then shall that wicked be revealed after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So this shows us that it is not safe to trust in miracles, since we are specifically warned that there would be counterfeit signs and lying wonders worked among us in order to deceive us and to lead us away from the love of the truth. And in fact, we're also clearly warned that the devil and his agents will work miracles in these last days. In Revelation 13, verse 13, and also 16, verse 14. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So the devil and his agents will work miracles, signs, and deceptive wonders in these last days. So then this means that just because a church or a person exhibits supernatural workings, like speaking in unknown tongues, or being slain in the spirit, or healing diseases, etc., does not mean that God's Holy Spirit was involved at all, because the devil and his agents will work miracles as well. So again, we test all miracles, we test all supernatural manifestations, including tongue speaking, by the test found in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, to the Bible and to the spirit of prophecy. If they agree not with this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, the Bible clearly reveals that the most important work of the Holy Spirit is not to manifest himself through miracles of healing. It's not to manifest himself through the gift of tongues, as many claim today. But the Bible says that the most important function of the Holy Spirit is to lead God's people into all truth. And if you look at quote number 8, from John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So this means that the work and function of the Holy Spirit is to guide God's people into the correct understanding of the truths found in God's inspired word. And that is why the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. You can find that in John 14:17 and John 15:26. So if there should be a spiritual manifestation from God's Spirit in our midst, It would be for the purpose of instructing God's people with the truth and not letting them remain in error. Now, the Bible also is very clear that God gives the gift of prophecy to guide his people into the truth. God gives the gifts of pastors, evangelists, apostles, etc., to teach his people the truth. You can find this in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4, verses 8 to 16. God gives the gift of tongues to be able to communicate this truth to those who would not be able to otherwise understand it. And this is because the truth alone sets us free in Jesus Christ. And then Christ sets us free from sin and death. So this shows us that everything hinges upon the truth reaching the people. But the devil knows this. And so the gifts that he gives would be just the opposite. They would not be such as would lead and guide God's people into all the truth, but would be to lead or keep them in error. So then the devil's counterfeit gift of tongues would not be able to communicate truth to anyone, which then means that utterances that no one could understand or interpret, that would lead no one into the truth, cannot be from God, but it has to be from the devil. God's Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Whatever the Spirit does is to lead and guide into the truth. Whatever the devil does is to lead and guide away from the truth, or to keep people in error. Now, if what we are saying is not understood by our listeners, then it would be no different than if we were speaking into the air without anyone listening. And this is exactly what Paul mentions. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me." The entire point of speaking is to communicate. And it would do absolutely no good for you to speak with another person if each of you didn't know what the other was saying. It would be pointless. So there's no value in speaking in tongues without you or your listeners understanding what's being said. Unknown babbling does not communicate anything. So this shows us that the vast majority of modern tongue speaking is not from God at all, because it does not abide by the instructions found in his word of truth. And it is very dangerous to submit yourself to the working of any spirit that is not from God. And when you look at what was taking place in the Corinthian church, you can see that the Holy Spirit was certainly not giving approval to what was so unprofitable and disorderly occurring among the Corinthians. And so if he couldn't approve of what was occurring among the Corinthians when they spoke unknown tongues, then neither can the Holy Spirit be working in the modern tongue-speaking churches of today. If these churches of today had the real Pentecost experience, like the apostles did, then these modern tongue speakers would speak known existing languages that would benefit others, foreigners, with the truths of God's word. But to do anything otherwise, to not benefit anyone by tongue speaking shows it to be a counterfeit of the devil. But some may argue that speaking in unknown or in uninterpreted tongues is just the person themselves speaking or praying unto God and not to men. But since God is the creator of all languages, then God understands all languages. So then why would you need to speak unto God or pray unto God in another language that neither you nor anyone else can understand or interpret, when you can speak and pray to God in your own language? Besides, Paul was very explicit to command those speaking in unknown or uninterpreted languages to be quiet. Quote number 9 from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 to 8. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, but if there is no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. So having reviewed all these things from God's word, turning the Bible spotlight onto this issue, the only way that we can be safe in these last days, when every deception and falsehood is so prevalent, the only way we can be safe is to diligently study the Bible for ourselves, striving to live by every word, and to test all spiritual manifestations by God's inspired word of truth. But the real quandary comes in, the real problem occurs, when we see that God's word conflicts with what we believe. Do we then believe the Bible? Or are we going to continue in the wrong? What are we going to do when we find that God's word conflicts with what we believe, or with what we have done or may continue to be doing? If you look at quote number 10, Christ himself has foretold the words that will be spoken to those who choose to follow their own ways instead of following the word of God. In Matthew 7, verses 21 to 3, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, such as speaking in tongues. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So this shows us that there's going to be many who have prophesied, many who have cast out devils, many who have done miracles, many who have spoken in tongues. But Jesus will say unto them, I never knew you. And what's the reason why? Because they were involved in the deceptive counterfeit of the devil and did not keep all of God's commandments, but continued to work iniquity. When confronted by God's word explaining they were doing wrong, they chose to continue to do the wrong, and thus to continue to work iniquity. So if you want to avoid hearing these terrible words spoken against yourself and losing salvation, then you must be following and doing God's will and keeping all of his commandments out of love for him. So when God's word points out that you're doing wrong or practicing something that's wrong, then you need to choose to give up the wrong belief or the wrong practice and follow God's word of truth. In doing so, you manifest that you love God above your own will. And in denying self in order to follow Christ, you will have eternal life if you continue to do that to the end. We're told in John 14, verses 15 to 16, verse 21 and 26, and John 15, verse 10. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. And in Revelation 22, verses 14 to 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without, in other words, outside the city, are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So if we find that we are believing something that God's word contradicts, doesn't back up or support, or that we're practicing anything that God's word does not back up or support, then that is just a lie from the devil. And if we continue to choose to remain in that lie, then we show that we love it. And we will not be in the kingdom of God. We will be lost. So if you love God, give up everything that God's word says to give up, and cling to only those things that God's word says to cling to. And by doing so, you manifest that you love God and are willing to keep his commandments above all else, including your own will. So in this short study, we've seen that the modern tongue-speaking movement that many are involved in today, especially among the charismatic and the evangelical churches and people, actually fails on the test of God's word. So the Bible spotlight has revealed it to be a counterfeit tongues, a fake and a lie that was sent by Satan to fool people into accepting false doctrines and losing eternal life. But God, in love and mercy for his honest people, even among these charismatic and evangelical ranks, doesn't want any to be deceived by a counterfeit of the devil and thereby lost. So in order to save them, God calls all of his true followers who may find themselves connected with any of these churches or groups that speak non-language tongues or in any other movements which are breaking some or all of God's law. God calls them to come out and separate from all of these denominations, all of these groups, or they will find themselves lost in the deception. If you look at quote number 11 from Revelation 18 verses 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven, in other words, the voice of God, saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. The her refers to a woman, and this woman pictured here is not a pure woman or the true church of God. It is a corrupt woman, full of sin, who is going to be punished with the seven last plagues. And God calls his people to come out of all the counterfeit churches today, all the false, corrupt churches of today, so that they can avoid partaking of her sins, being deceived by the counterfeit, and avoid receiving of her plagues, being destroyed in the lake of fire. So this is God's command to you in order to save your life. Will you heed God's merciful and loving call? Or will you cling to a lie because you love it more than following God's truth? What is your decision going to be? I pray that you will choose to serve God and thereby find life. Our closing song is titled, Holy Thine. Nothing of the devil, 100% Christ's. I would be, dear Savior, wholly thine. Teach me how, teach me how. I would do thy will, O Lord, not mine. Help me now. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now.
Pleasure, wealth, or fame, without thee, I will leave them all for thy dear name. This my wealth shall be, holy thine, holy thine. This is my vow, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord.
As I cast earth's trash and yours be mine, come thou near, in thy presence all in all I find. 'Tis my comfort here. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord.
Amen. And may we be wholly the Lord's and none of the devil's. Not serving two masters, not trying to ride that fence in between the two camps, but being wholly on the Lord's side. no longer neutral, and no longer in any part of the devil's camp. May we indeed choose to follow the Lord and give up everything that is not part of Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for not leaving us in the pit of darkness, but for sending the light of life, the truth as it is in Jesus, to dig us out of that pit and to plant our feet on the solid rock of our Savior, the truth. Please forgive us for all the time that we've spent in deception, thinking that everything was fine. Forgive us for dallying and remaining connected with what we know to be wrong. And please continue to give us the grace and the strength not only to choose to follow Thee, but to follow Thee, regardless of the cost. And thank You, Father, that even if we have found ourselves following the devil for many years, being connected with the supernatural manifestations that we see are from Him and not from God, thank You that through the name of Jesus we can be set free, just like Paul was, even though we may be the chief of sinners, the closest agent of the devil. Through Jesus we can be set free. The truth will lead us away from the devil, away from destruction, away from falsehood, directly to the light of life and salvation. Thank You that it's not too late. We still have that precious chance to escape destruction and connect with Jesus, our life. Help us indeed to be wholly Yours. And continue, Spirit, to reprove and correct and instruct us in righteousness, revealing to us where we've gone off, and for bringing us in belief and in practice 100% in the truth. And please, Spirit, don't stop, but continue to convict us, to prick our hearts, when we're doing wrong or thinking of doing wrong, that we may have that precious choice to say no to self, but yes to Christ. Thank You for enabling us to hold fast, to endure unto the end, that we may be with Jesus forevermore. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God for His word of truth. It definitely makes things much more clearer. Comment in the room, it says, a note on the meaning of barbarian. The term originates from the Greek barbaros, which in turn originates from the incomprehensible languages of early Anatolian nations that were heard by the Greeks as barbar. Incomprehensible languages. So thank you, dear sister, or dear brother, for that definition of barbarian, one that Paul was using there. There was a question that was sent to me earlier, and asking me if I could explain the meaning of 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15 when it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" So what Paul is saying here is that if he speaks or prays in an unknown tongue, then he's not understanding with his mind what is being said, but his spirit is doing it. So then he says, what is it then? Or in other words, what am I going to do when this happens? And he says, I will pray with the Spirit. Or in other words, I will pray knowing what I'm saying. And he continues, and I will pray with the understanding also. In other words, he will pray knowing what is being said. So Paul here is not saying that it's okay to pray in an unknown tongue while you're not understanding what's taking place, because you're not benefited by everything that's being spoken. And in fact, Paul already said that if you're speaking in an unknown tongue and no one can understand what you're saying, then keep quiet in the church. Keep silence in the church. So when Paul says, if you're praying in an unknown tongue and you can't understand it, be quiet. But if you're going to speak, then do so when you can understand what is being said by you, or if there's someone there to interpret what is being said by you. So if you're going to sing in the Spirit, then you're going to sing with the understanding also. And if you can't sing with the understanding, then you're to be quiet. So hopefully that has answered your question, dear brother. And if not, are there any other questions that you have, or any other thoughts here, or ways to explain that from others here in the room? Please go right ahead. You know, the devil knows that his time is short. He knows that he has just a little bit time left to deceive. And so, as we near closer to the end of all things, he's going to become much more active. And this includes in supernatural manifestations. And the devil's crowning act of deception is to come down personating Jesus Christ. And when he does so, he's going to act like the real Jesus did when he was on the earth. He's going to walk around and heal the sick, although the devil can't actually heal the sick like Christ did. But the devil can put his power upon individuals and make them ill, and then remove his power and their illness disappears. So to us, it looks like they were cured, when in fact all that was done was the devil just removed his power from them, and then their health returned. So they weren't healed at all. It just appeared that they were healed. And since we can't explain what occurred, it's going to be looked upon as a miracle. But Christ, when he comes the second time, doesn't touch the earth. He remains up in the clouds. So then when the devil comes personating Jesus Christ and he comes down on the earth, that's an indication it's not the real Jesus. It's the counterfeit. And as people are deceived by the counterfeit appearing of Christ, then they're going to be led to follow whatever the devil commands them, thinking it's the real Jesus commanding them. And the devil is then going to say, you know, all these many decades and centuries I've tried to get individuals to believe, trying to get them to accept the fact that Saturday for the Jews has now become the Christian Sunday for everyone that has accepted me. But there's individuals that will not give up the Jewish Saturday to keep the Christian Sunday. And so I've come now to remove all doubt that I have changed the fourth commandment from Saturday Sabbath to Sunday Sabbath. And the vast majority of the world's inhabitants are going to be deceived by the devil's claim that Saturday has been replaced with Sunday. And the nations of the world are going to pass Sunday laws. So Sunday will be legislated on a worldwide or universal basis. After the devil comes personating Jesus. So we can't trust miracles to be from God. We can't trust what we see to be real. And we can't trust to our feelings as to whether it is from God or not. We have to trust implicitly in God's word of truth. That's the only way to avoid being deceived by the devil and lost. So may we indeed be people of the word of God, people of the truth. Testing everything by the Bible and the spirit of prophecy so that we will not be misled and lost, but may be able to continue on the straight and narrow regardless of the cost. Amen. Another point the scripture says is every eye shall see him or see Christ come in the clouds of heaven. But that's not going to be with the devil. He can't be everywhere at once. I mean, he can try to get, you know, the television news broadcast to spread his coming around the world, but that's not going to reach every eye. So right there, Revelation 1:7 points out that Satan personating Christ is not Christ at all. It is a deceptive counterfeit. That means there's no light in anything the devil says. There's only deception. Amen. Faith. It's faith in God's word of truth that will enable us to remain firm and fixed on it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So amen, dear sister. Are there any other Bible texts or passages that you can think of to show that when Satan personates Christ, it's not going to be the real Christ?
I'm not sure if this goes hand in hand, but we were watching The Prince of Egypt, and it was, it just showed that in that cartoon movie, it just showed Moses being led by God and used his staff and turned his staff into a snake. And then the Pharaoh had his magicians And they were able to do the same thing in the movie. So I guess that's what magic, to make something appear as if something is real and it's not. But at the end of that particular scene, Moses' staff ate the other two snakes that were there to let the people know that he is the only.
Amen. That's true. And that is a manifestation of Satan's wonders or supernatural deceptions. Because when the magicians of Pharaoh threw down their staves, the devil made it appear that they also turned into snakes. Now, it's interesting. Satan made it appear real, but God's serpent was real. And to show the difference, God instructed his real snake to eat up the fake snakes of the devil. So the devil can make it something appear real that is not real at all. He's an angel of light. But that doesn't make him from God. And the devil can make his agents appear as ministers of righteousness, but that doesn't make them ministers of righteousness. When the devil took Christ up to the high mountain and revealed before the sight of Christ all the nations of the world and the glory of them, that was all through the ability of Satan to do. It wasn't the reality of those nations. There was no crime or corruption or destruction that was revealed to Christ. It was just the glory of the nations. He made it appear everything so glorious and desirable, when in reality it was not that way at all. And Christ resisted it, using God's word of truth. He exposed it to be a fallacy, made up, not real. Amen. We have to walk by faith, not by what we see or how we feel. Emotions have no part in determining what is light or darkness, what is truth or error. God's word is the only test of that. So amen, dear sister, that's very true. Satan can, and amen. That's another good Bible text to show that Satan personating Christ is the counterfeit Christ, that it's Satan and not the real Jesus, because when Christ comes to earth again, we will be drawn into the air to meet him. The dead in Christ will rise out of their graves first and will go to meet Christ in the air. So then we won't have to walk anywhere on the earth in order to meet Jesus, because we'll be caught off the earth to meet him in the air. Amen. Very good. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Are there any other passages from the scriptures that you can think of to reveal Satan to be a deceiver and not the real Christ when he comes?
Well, I don't really have a Bible text, but I think I have info that might shed a little more light on the subject. Well, you see, what I was doing in school, for schoolwork, I often put on my favorite scripture songs that I like to listen to while I'm doing homework and all, but But one time, as I was scrolling down, I saw a video that said some people in the Philippines said they saw Christ last month on Easter, or hovering above the sky. I never watched the video, since I know it would be false. But all I can see was a picture of people gathering some kind of, I don't know, it was probably a field or a valley. And it was pretty close to night, probably evening. And all I can see was a picture of a bright light, hey, near some clouds. Could have been lightning, or maybe it was kind of the warning that was heard in the scriptures that Satan would appear as Christ. And on another occasion, when I was doing some research about one of the planets, I saw some news report about some man claiming he saw an angel or flying in his yard right above his car, or even put a picture to make people believe he's seen it. And sure looked like a white appearance, and so it could have been a bird or something. And also last year, some people in, I don't know, either South Dakota or Minnesota, some people say they saw Christ standing on top of a lake. Others didn't think so. Others thought it was probably a ghost or probably a ghost ship. I never looked at these videos, and I highly doubted that these were pictures of Christ or angels at all. I think these are living proof that we're in the last days, and that Satan really is tricking many into thinking that he's Christ or an angel. Well, most likely. Or it could be just people who will pretend in the ending using some kind of technology or even some devious tricks up their sleeves themselves to make people believe that's either Christ or an angel. Or even a ghost. Well, that's all the report of common I can give.
Amen, and thank you, brother. And that's true. I mean, there's going to be a lot of supernatural occurrences, and there's also going to be a lot of trickery and deception going on as well. But you have to ask yourself, since God is a God of truth, and Christ is the truth, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, then everything they do is designed to lead people into the truth. That's the whole goal. So any supernatural occurrences or manifestations that come from God or Jesus or the Spirit have to be to lead people to the truth. So then when you hear or perhaps see an image of Christ in the clouds, or an angel above a car, or a statue move, or whatever other so-called miracles or supernatural manifestations have taken place, how do those things deal with the truth? How do those things lead the viewers into the truth? If there's no connection with the truth at all, it's not from God. God is a God of truth. Whatever he does is connected with the truth. So if something is purported to be from God, but it has no connection with the truth, it's not from God. It's a deception. There's a lot of things going around YouTube about strange trumpet noises occurring in Jerusalem, occurring all over the world. When trumpets came from God, they were designed to lead people to God, connected with the truth. When the trumpets were blown there on Mount Sinai, that was an indication that God was coming down to his people and that they were to listen to what God said. And God was immediately there to speak once the trumpet stopped. That's not what's taking place with the strange trumpet noises that are being heard around the world. So then these trumpet noises can't be from God. They have no connection with the truth. Or dazzling lights in the sky, or strange cloud formations, or whatever other signs may be taking place in the heavens. If it's not in connection with the spreading of the truth, it's not from God. So amen, dear brother. There's going to be a lot of supernatural things, and the Bible tells us to not be concerned about the strange happenings in the heavens, the signs and wonders taking place there. The heathen are going to be worried about them, but we're not to be worried about them.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, Elder Rob, if you don't see a lot of people in the room today, I think some people are having difficulty coming in because my father said that they keep giving them an error trying to come in the room. So if you may not see some of the brethren here, I think they may be having a little bit of problem.
Well, thank you, sister, for letting me know. And yeah, the devil doesn't like the topic that we're discussing. He doesn't like his deceptions to be exposed. And so it doesn't surprise me that individuals are having trouble getting into the room. But praise God, it's being recorded, and they'll be able to listen to the recording later. It would be nice to have them here, but we understand. Oh, that's interesting. A comment says, I had trouble coming in also. It said it did not exist. Well, praise God for your persistence. You made it. And I noticed that as soon as we got some of our videos on YouTube and they went out, that we started having a lot of, I can't say a lot, but we started to have problems that we didn't have before. So again, the devil's angry, and it wouldn't surprise me if individuals running these programs and ISP services and so on might become involved as well in preventing access, but that's all for God to handle. You know, we don't have to worry about that. That's in God's hands. Praise God that He's in control, and the message of truth will go out and accomplish its work. God promises. So no matter what the devil can do to try and stop it, it's only going to further it. And so praise God for His divine providence and overruling power in our lives. So amen. That's true. The devil is a defeated foe. He just refuses to admit it. And praise God that Christ.
What comes up on my mind is scripture in Deuteronomy 4:19, and is as old as the Old Testament, when it says, unless thou lift up thy eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, the moon, and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. And in 28 of that same chapter, it says, And there ye shall serve gods, the work of man's hand, wood, stone, which neither see nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. In 29, where it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
Amen. Amen. And if you think about it, since God created the heavens, then whatever supernatural things may occur in the heavens, we don't have to worry about. We don't have to be dismayed at them, because God is in control. So praise his holy name. Yeah, I do know that that some trying to get in the room, if they use Internet Explorer as a browser, that will not allow them into the room. Even the Google aspect on Internet Explorer will not allow someone into the room. They have to use Google Chrome in order to get into the room, or Firefox, or Safari. Those three browsers are the only thing that can be used to come into the room. So Internet Explorer won't work. None of the other browsers will work. Opera, okay, thank you. The Opera, see, what is Opera? Is that on Kindle? What's Opera with? With Windows. But, I mean, is it a tablet? Are you on a tablet? Anyways, okay, so Opera works as well. All right, well, that's good to know. Let's see, Matthew 24, 23 and 4, it says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great sign and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. And that was also verses 25 to 7 of Matthew 24. So thank you, dear sister. That again is another scripture that shows that Lucifer coming down purporting to be Jesus is not the real Christ, because when the real Christ comes, everyone is going to know it, not by running to their televisions and turning on the news. They're going to see him come in the clouds of the air, just like everybody can see lightning flash.
And I also tell you that he shall come with 10,000s and thousands and thousands of angels. So for him to be able to even try to copy the events of how Jesus was going to come, it's not going to happen either. That is the reason why it's so important. If we know the events of prophecy, and if we know the things that were supposed to come to pass, they're always going to be charted. They always are going to be missing or not actually fulfilling. So it's very important for us to be able to know the events and the prophecies. So when these things come, we have to test them. That's the only way we can be able to get rid of falsehood, or what is truth and what is not. If it's not written, it's just not true.
Amen. Amen. And that's a very good point. When the devil comes, I mean, he may have his fallen angels around him, but he can't come in the exact same way that the Bible depicts Christ coming in the clouds of the air. So the devil has to find a different way to trick Bible believers. And so I can imagine that when the devil comes down, that perhaps his feet won't actually touch the ground. He'll hover just above the ground. So that will deceive individuals into believing, well, you know, this could be the real Christ, because when Christ comes, he won't touch the ground. And here, you know, this divine being is not touching the ground. He's just sort of hovering above the ground wherever he goes. So I can see the devil doing that. Or I can see the devil coming in a spaceship or flying saucer and landing on the earth. I can see him doing that, because when you look at the beliefs of most all of the ancient civilizations, they believe that the gods came down to them in flying crafts of some sort. So I can see the devil coming in a flying saucer. And with all the UFO craze going around, I can see that very well fitting into his plan. So the devil is going to have some way in which the entire world is deceived into believing he's the real Jesus Christ. And the entire world is made up of a whole range of beliefs. So the devil has to bridge that entire range of beliefs into getting people of various nationalities, religions, atheisms, Gnosticisms, spiritualisms, every kind of belief under the sun into accepting him as their God. And what better way to do it than through UFOs, through that belief, because that particular belief spans through all different types of beliefs. Even Christians are believing in UFOs. But again, here we have the devil being able to make things appear real that are not real. So it's quite interesting. And since we're nearing closer to the end, we're going to be seeing these supernatural manifestations more and more. And so we have to be grounded on God's word, or we're going to be misled. We truly cannot trust what we see as being from God or not. We have to test it by God's word of truth. Amen. Including aliens and Martians, ET and extraterrestrial and so on. And also praise God for the spirit of prophecy, because we have more detail of what's going to take place. And of course that brings in the supernatural of the dead being alive before Christ comes. And we know that can't be true, other than those that rose from the dead when Christ rose from the tomb. And then those were taken to heaven, but they won't be on the earth anymore. And none of the dead that have died will be resurrected to life until Christ comes a second time. So any that purport themselves to be the dead rise back to life today are not. Another comment, it says, Chrome or Google Chrome quit working on my computer, so I had to find something else. Yeah, I had Chrome quit working on my computer as well. And what I had to do is I had to uninstall Chrome and then shut down the computer and then reboot the computer and install Chrome back in. And then it worked fine. So that may be what you may have to do to your sister to solve that problem. For some reason, software gets little glitches in it, and I'm not sure how that happens, but it does. And with those glitches, it doesn't function right. And so one way to solve it is to uninstall it, shut down your computer, pull it back up, and then install it again. And that usually solves the problem. Question, it says, will the room here be allowing voice when using iPad or iPhones soon? I know that some can already speak using iPhones. iPads, I don't think the voice will come through, but you're able to type in the room. So some iPhones I know work, and I guess others don't. But it'd be nice that all phones could work, and I think they're working on having that take place. And it says iPad only typing and texting in the room. Okay. Well, hopefully that will be solved, and that would be great if people could join in and still be able to communicate on their phones. I guess Sister Susan, that uses her phone, as well as Brother James there in Australia, that also uses his phone. It must not be an iPhone. It must be some other, like a Samsung or some other company. But yeah, that'd be wonderful if that barrier could be solved and allow those having Apple phones and pads and so on would be able to also be a type and speak in the room. But I don't have a time frame for you, dear sister. Are there any other thoughts? Any other comments? Well, this hymn came to mind, talking about these last days. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds. Grips the solid.
In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. And be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, and be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid.
Amen. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other songs, anything else that you'd like to share before we close today's service? Please feel free.
You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my mind with words of wisdom. Whenever I am in doubt, I will trust in you.
I will trust in you.
Let me walk by faith that works in the strength of the Lord. Tú eres mi lugar oculta, llenas mi corazón con cánticos de liberación. De angustias me guardarás, confiaré en ti,
confiaré en ti,
confiaré en ti,
confiaré en ti.
El débil día fuerte soy, con poder del Señor. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, confiaré en ti,
confiaré en ti,
confiaré en ti,
confiaré en ti.
Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you.
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 Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord.
Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Amen.
Well, dear ones, have a blessed remaining Sabbath day, and those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful, blessed new week. Keep studying the Word. Keep being grounded in the truth as it is in Jesus. Keep growing in grace. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. So until we meet again, go with God, dear ones.